Hello everybody. Welcome to the nuts and bolts of making money with teleclasses, workshops, and short presentations. I'm Dr. Jackie Black, your teleclass facilitator for this series. I've been specifically trained as a teleclass facilitator, and I'm certified as a teleclass facilitator. I've been delivering teleclasses on a wide range of topics since about 2000 and have delivered many hundreds of teleclasses over the last 16 years. You may also know that I'm on the faculty here at CTA teaching the Certified Coach Program, and I've been doing that since 2005, and I deliver teleclasses in the CTA Graduate School on a variety of topics. For the next 115 minutes, we're going to talk about designing and delivering teleclasses that will add revenue to your bottom line. My promise to you is that by the end of this call, you will hang up the phone with at least 3 new and useful ideas or understandings that you did not have before you picked up the phone, and we're going to have fun. I hold 2 values specifically related to my teleclasses. One is to provide value, and the other is to have fun. I'd like to remind you that this teleclass is being recorded. I will put the bridge in presentation mode when I'm presenting to make the recording as clean as possible. And then I'll take us out of presentation mode every 20 minutes or so to take your questions. You've already received the link from CTA, so you can download the PDF class notes and the recording of today's call and next week's call. Please remember that the recording is an audio player, not an MP3. Our teleclass today is going to include lecture and plenty of time for your questions. I will stop and summarize every couple of minutes. I'll invite you to speak directly with me during the Q&A portion of this teleclass, and I hope to be able to speak with each one of you and answer your questions. I'm going to leave 10 minutes at the end of the call for our final debriefing and questions. Your comments about what you took away from today's call and how you're going to personalize the key points. Your feedback and suggestions for making this teleclass better. My thank you and our goodbye to each other. All right, let's begin. Designing fast-paced, high-content teleclasses is a skill. You can learn this skill. It has nothing to do with chance or luck. You want to provide the opportunity for your participants to connect with you, to have numerous aha moments, to learn something that they can use in their lives immediately and successfully, to reconnect with you and strengthen their relationship with you and learn more from you on an ongoing basis. Delivering teleclasses provides you the opportunity to build rapport and deepen rapport with participants, to deepen familiarity with participants, to build an initial level of trust with participants who might become clients or who might become referral resources, to create highly interactive learning environments. The interactivity with your participants, plus delivering rich, meaningful content, equals a highly interactive learning environment. So teleclasses and developing high-content teleclasses provides the opportunity for participants, provides the opportunity for you, and it creates a highly interactive learning environment. Now, the way you connect to participants, plus the passion you bring to your topic, plus your intention to provide meaningful content that will transform, inform, or inspire your participants equals a compelling teleclass. I'm going to say that again. It's like a mathematical equation. The way that you connect with your participants, plus the passion that you bring to your topic, plus your intention to provide meaningful content that will transform, inform, or inspire your participants equals a compelling teleclass. So your compelling teleclass will bring participants back time after time. It will inspire them to tell their friends about you, to tell them about your teleclasses and your services and your products. and will inspire them to refer their friends and family and business contacts. So teleclasses are dialogue-based learning opportunities versus lecture-based. Dialogue-based learning opportunities. There are three simple elements to include in every teleclass. Number one, anecdotal stories. Those are personal stories that bring your point alive. Number two, statistics to validate your teaching points. And number three, quotes that are compelling, or quotes from famous people that you use to strengthen your teaching points, or quotes from you. Maybe you are known to say certain things or to say things in a certain way. So quote yourself. The teleclass format lends itself perfectly to following the flow versus sticking to your prepared remarks or an agenda or an outline. It's very important to key into the people that are on the call. I was delivering a teleclass in the UK a number of years ago when I was doing a lot of dating coaching. So it must have been the early 2000s. And I could just feel the tension on the line. And when you do enough teleclasses, teleseminars, telecalls, you'll be able to do that. And nobody was participating. So in a very few minutes, I stopped right in the middle, and I said, I think that I'm missing something. It feels to me like something is going on, and I don't know what it is. So if somebody can send me a quick email, and I gave them my email address, and if you could please let me know what I'm missing, because I really want this teleclass to be useful. I want to deliver value. And in a moment, the emails were flying into my computer. And in those years, I had just begun to work outside the U.S., 2001, 2002. And I was in the U.K., I wasn't in the UK, but the call was for only people in the UK. It was an open forum Q&A on dating. And I was in those years an ethnocentric American, and I completely missed the cue that in the UK people are not going to get on a phone line in a public venue and talk about dating. It's not going to happen. I was in the UK. I don't know where I thought I was. So when they started letting me know that they had come to the call, to a Q&A forum, they'd come to listen. They'd come to listen. Well, I got it immediately, and then I could change horses in midstream, and I could be appropriate, deliver value, deliver material, really deliver content, instead of expecting the content to be derived from the questions. I was doing another teleclass for differently abled people and dating. And again, a very few minutes into the presentation, I could just tell that something was not right. So I stopped and I said, I'm getting the sense that I'm missing what you came to hear or learn, or something's going on and I don't know what it is. So I'm going to stop right now. And I had a different bridge where people could raise their hands. And I said, if you could press star 2 and raise your hand, and a few of you could please let me know what's going on. And the overwhelming number of people came because they wanted their questions answered, because they came with specific issues. And while what I was saying was interesting, they all were so preoccupied with what it is they wanted to talk to me about, the answers that they wanted to get. So I did almost the opposite thing that I'd done in the UK. I stopped and I said, I'm going to rip up my notes, and I ripped them up in the phone. I said, do you hear me ripping? My notes are gone, done. And what we're going to do is have a discussion, and so that I can really give you what you came here to get. And that was a teleclass that was supposed to go 2 hours, and we talked for a little over three, and it was recorded. The whole thing was recorded. Generally, they don't record teleclasses, but it seemed so important to me that in those years I was using my own bridge, because so few people had bridges, that I went in and used my recording feature, and I recorded the call. So be sure that you are able, when you're having teleclasses, to go with the flow. The times that you want to stick to your prepared remarks or stick to an agenda or an outline is for sure a keynote. No question about it. or when you're speaking to a group and they know what you're speaking about, your talk or your presentation, which I'll talk about next week, your talk or your presentation has been publicized or published someplace, that then becomes a very different story than a teleclass that you are doing to deliver value to your niche, to your market, to your clients. Okay? And I'll take questions about this in a few minutes. Let's talk about mindset and preparation before that. Your mindset and your preparation is essential. It is not an overstatement to say you determine the mood and the disposition of the audience. It's really true. You set the stage with your voice. You listen to your participants. You dialogue with them. You ask provocative questions. You weave your ideas and their sharing together into cohesive learning. And you birth the wisdom of the group. Groups are always richer. Information and content that you deliver is always made richer by the contributions of the participants. It's true in live workshops as well. It lets your participants get to know you as a person and as an expert. If you have a sense of humor, use it. And I'm not talking about telling jokes, but there is a way that you don't have to be formal or academic in teleclasses. You can be warm and personable and let your own personality come through. Always, always, always teach what you know. Don't brush up on something or get educated on something and then deliver a teleclass. Especially if you have either of the situations that happened that I told you about earlier. You won't have enough depth in your subject matter, in your content, to be able to go with the flow. So teach what you know. Tell true stories about yourself. If you make mistakes, stop, rewind, and keep going. Nobody expects perfection. Be yourself. Don't decide that there's something wrong with you and that you need to be better, different, or more. Be exactly who you are. And be curious about your participants. Be massively curious. Why are they on the call? Why did they sign up for the call? What did they hear or read about the teleclass or about you that sparked their interest? What specifically attracted them to the call? What do they expect to get from participating in this teleclass? And at the end of the teleclass, what do they want to walk away with? I came on the phone a little bit early, pardon me, and I had an opportunity to speak with a few of you and ask you some of those questions. Now, normally, when calls are not recorded, or if we have the kind of enrollment that, well, in a second or a third, for example, where we can see that more people are coming on the line, we can see how many people are here because there's what is called a dashboard on the back of our bridge, then you definitely want to come on early and you want to talk to people. You want to connect with people as much as you can and ask them, what was the most important thing that you learned last time? You'll hear me ask you that next week. Was there one thing in particular that was really valuable? Did you try anything already? What was your experience? Because a lot of times when you deliver teleclasses, there'll be some work that your participants will be doing from one week to the next. Now, that might not be true in this teleclass series, but sometimes it is. So ask them, what was their experience? What were their wins? What were their challenges? What worked? Now, throughout this teleclass series, I'm going to do demos. And I'm going to demo dialogues. When I do that, I'm going to say hat on. And I'm going to move into a demo dialogue. And I'll deliver it exactly as you will deliver it for your teleclass. The demo dialogue is from actual teleclasses that I've done on dating and divorce. So ignore the content of the dialogue and the questions. Listen for the style of the delivery. Listen for the structure of the powerful questions and the use of language and segues. Again, the demo dialogue, I'll say hat on to let you know when the dialogue starts and hat off when the dialogue stops. So I'm going to do that in just a minute. I want to just talk about building rapport before I do that. Building rapport makes people comfortable with you and sends the message that they are more than just a name on a list or a voice in a sea of voices on a call. Building rapport is the first step to building a relationship with people and building loyalty. Your first opportunity to build rapport is at the very beginning of the call when you greet people as they come on the line. And you greet people one by one, and you get their names and the cities that they're calling from. Lupi told me she was from the Chicago area. She's probably been in a lot of teleclasses, and she knows what people say, oh, where are you calling from? Acknowledge to people for taking the time to be with you and recognize the value to them of being on the call with you. Always invite teleclass participants to share their points of view and invite them into discussions throughout the teleclass. Now, this is a training. This is a training, and it's being recorded, which is why I'm in presentation mode and then question and answer mode. In a teleclass, I would never go into presentation mode, ever. I will be in live conversation mode throughout the teleclass. Your dashboard will tell you where your background noise is coming from. There'll be a little thing that will move, and it'll tell you where the background noise is, and you can mute that person's line. And when you mute that person's line, the bridge woman will say, your line is now muted. And that will be because you have muted the line to keep the call as clear as possible. That's your obligation to do that. So make sure that you tell somebody they're doing that. There's a little background noise. I'm hearing a little background noise on the line, and I've muted you. And then you tell them how to get off mute if they have a question. Okay, building rapport with your participants. Very, very important. All right, I'm going to take us out of presentation mode and put us in question and answer mode and see if there are any questions at this point. Hang on just 1 minute. Okay. Thoughts, questions, feedback from anything about anything that I've said so far. Hang on just 1 second if you would. I've also turned off the notification of caller arrival. So if you came in late and you'd like to say hello, please do that too. Yes. Who started to speak? Who I interrupted?
This is Lupe. So I have a question, and I don't know if you're going to be getting into this a little more, but I'm not sure I understood conversation mode versus presentation mode. Can you clarify
yes,
that a little?
I sure can. So right now I'm in conversation mode, which means you can talk into your phone and I can hear you. When I put us in presentation mode, I click star 41 on the bridge, and then it will cause you to not be able to speak so that you are heard.
Okay, so it's just a technical detail then,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's a technical, but it's part of what you as a teleclass presenter will want to understand about your bridge. That's the telecommunication bridge that you are on and that all of your participants will be on so that you can deliver your content.
Great. Okay, excellent. Thank you.
So you're welcome. So just to recap, so it's important for you to know that you want to be in conversation mode, meaning you want to be able to hear people shuffling paper and asking questions and breathing, and it makes the call much more interesting. For a teleclass and a training like this, especially one that's being recorded, then you don't want that on the recording. And because so I come out of the presentation mode where you can't talk to me so that you can talk to me. Okay?
Makes sense. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have any thoughts, questions, or feedback?
Hi, Dr.
Okay.
Black. This is Katina Robinson. Just introducing
myself. Hi, welcome.
From Florida. Thank you.
Good. Thanks. You're welcome, Nikita. Thank you for letting me know you're here. Anybody else want to say hello or have any thoughts, questions, or feedback? Okay, so I'm going to put us back in presentation mode and continue. We just finished the section on building rapport with participants, and I want to talk about two things before I do the demo. One is about sharing stories, and the other is referring back to something that people said. So when you share personal stories with people, refer to personal stories about yourself or about someone that you know or an experience that you had with someone that you know. It's different than theoretical stories. Even case studies help. But personal stories on teleclasses, it depends on, again, what you're trying to achieve. You're very much trying to achieve being in rapport, being in connection with people on a teleclass. So sharing personal stories versus case studies, I'm going to say most of the time, is going to be better. And then you want to refer back to something someone said and give them credit by using their name and then weave their comment back into your content. That's the other piece that helps you build rapport. And that's going to sound like this. Hat on. You know, when Bob said that he wanted to be less reactive to his wife's upset, he was really making my point about the importance of being proactive rather than being reactive, which translates into being emotionally conscious through the divorce process. Hat off. So I've just deepened my rapport with Bob directly. I've continued to build rapport with the other participants, and I made a very smooth segue to my next teaching point. Let's start at the beginning and talk about the beginning of your teleclass, the very beginning of your teleclass. Here's how that's going to sound. Hat on. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Three Simple Steps to Conscious Divorce. I'm Dr. Jackie Black, and then I would give brief biographical information. For the next 55 minutes, we're going to explore the concepts and behaviors related to conscious divorce. My promise to you is that by the end of this call, you will hang up the phone with at least three new and useful ideas or understandings that you did not have before you picked up the phone, and we're going to have fun. I hold two values specifically related to my teleclasses. One is to provide value, and the other is to have fun. I'd like to remind you about three things: bridge etiquette, laser speak, and iMessage feedback. Hat off. Now, I touch on those three administrative details briefly: bridge etiquette, laser speak, and iMessage feedback. And then I go on to provide the brief overview of the teleclass structure. Hat on. Our teleclass will include a little lecture, a few writing exercises, and a lot of sharing together. I will stop and summarize every couple of minutes. I'll invite you to speak directly with me during this call, and I'll speak with each of you individually, and I'll speak to the group. I'm going to leave 10 minutes at the end of the call for our final debriefing and questions, your comments about what you took away from today's call and how you're going to personalize the key points, your feedback and suggestions for making this teleclass better, my thank you and our goodbye to each other. Please stop me with any comments or questions at any time. The best way to get my attention is to say, "Dr. Jackie, this is Susan, and I have a question," or "I have a comment." I'll recognize you and say, "Thanks, Susan," and Susan will continue. Or I'll say, "Thanks, Susan. May I ask you to wait for a moment or two so I can finish making this point? Would that be okay?" Susan's going to say, "Okay." Then as soon as I finish making my point, I will say, "Yes, Susan, you have a question or a comment." All right, let's begin. Hat off. So let's unwrap what I just did. Number one, I welcomed people to this specific teleclass. Number two, I introduced myself and I said a few words about who I am, what my credentials are, and why it is I am facilitating this teleclass. That's called credentializing yourself. Then I introduced the content briefly, number three. Number four, I made a personal commitment, my version of a guarantee, related to delivering value, three takeaways, and having fun. Number five, I marked out the specific parts of the next 55 minutes so everyone knows what to expect, including the administrative details and the call outline or the agenda. And I told participants how to interrupt me to be sure that this call is dialogue-based learning. Now, why would I tell participants, one, to interrupt me, and two, tell them how to interrupt me? The answer is because I'm sending a direct and unmistakable message to everyone on the call that this is a discussion and I'm interested in a dialogue. I'm more interested in engaging in a dialogue than in delivering my material. It's all about them. It's all about them. So I tell people, number one, interrupt me. Number two, how to interrupt me. Please stop me with any comments or questions at any time. And the best way to do that is to say, okay, unmistakable message. Your teleclass timeline is normally 60 minutes. 60 minutes. This is a training, which is why it's 4 hours broken up into two-hour sections. Most of the time, teleclasses are 60 minutes, from the time that you put on the recording at the top of the hour until the top of the hour. 60 minutes. And the reason that I'm stressing this is that I want you to create a clock. A clock. A circle on a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, with the numbers 1 through 12 around the clock, around the circle, just like a clock face. Because this teleclass design is designed so that you know every minute of your 60 minutes what it is you're doing and where it is you should be in your material every minute. I have never conducted a teleclass, a workshop, a webinar, or a training without my clock. I've been training for many, many years inside corporations, inside universities, coach training organizations, on the telephone. Always have my clock so that I know where I am in the material and how much time is left all the time. Especially when you get a lot of questions, because you have to cut off questions and answers when you have a lot of people on the call. You build in certain periods of time, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, for questions and answers within the 60 minutes. If you don't have questions, that's fine. Then you can continue with your material. But if you do, you have to know where you are. You have to know where you're starting and know where you're stopping so that you don't miss any time for the key points or the summaries. You can never go over in a training or in a workshop, in a teleclass or in a webinar. You cannot go over. It is a matter of respect to end on time. That's why you have to really, really pay attention to your clock. You can't say, oh, well, I have another 5 minutes. You have no idea what people are doing on the other side of this call, your call. They may have somebody waiting for them. They may have an appointment, a client, lunch, children. We don't know. So there's a published time. You start on time and you end on time. 60-minute timeline. The first 10 minutes of your teleclass includes the greeting to participants as everyone arrives, the 10 minutes from the top of the hour to 10 minutes after. You're welcoming the participants to the class, introducing yourself, providing the protocol, providing the agenda. 10 minutes elapsed time. Now we're going to talk about the body of your teleclass. The body of your teleclass should include several powerful opening questions, several compelling general questions, no more than three, three key points, a summary for each key point, and a simple six-step structure. So opening questions, general questions, three key points, summary for each key point, which is a simple six-step structure. It doesn't change if you have a two-hour or a three-hour or a two-day teleclass. You just have to adjust your time frames. The teleclass timeline allows 40 minutes for the body of your teleclass. Let me just digress for a minute and tell you that there will be class notes, PDF class notes, on the CTA teleclass page for this teleclass. And these things will be described to you in detail. Just to let you know, the class notes should be uploaded. I think the website says 24 hours after the teleclass, so it's sometime tomorrow morning, but I'm hoping that they'll be available for you earlier. All right, back to the body of your teleclass. The body of your teleclass should include opening questions, general questions, three key points, summary. 40 minutes. So what's a powerful opening question? I want you to develop 10 provocative questions related to your topic that all must be answered yes. So you're never going to deliver all 10, but I want you to have 10. I want you to A, get in the habit of developing powerful opening questions and have them just in case. Every time you ask these questions, be certain that everyone will answer yes. Here's an example, or three examples, of opening questions. Number one, would it be of any interest to you to know where to go to find your ideal partner? Two, if it's possible to hang up the phone in 50 minutes and have three clear actions to take, would that be valuable to you? Three, is there anyone here who would be interested to know how to decrease the conflict during your divorce? Powerful opening questions. They sound like powerful coaching questions, don't they? Okay, the next piece is compelling general questions. And I want you to develop 12 compelling, strong, engaging general questions. These are questions that lead in and out of your first, your second, and your third key points. Lead in and out of. You'd only ask your powerful opening questions at the opening of your 40 minutes. 40 minutes, body of your teleclass, opening. I want you to have them, but you'll only use one, maybe two. But the compelling general questions will be used to lead you in and out of your first, second, and third key points. And I want you to begin these powerful questions with who, what, where, when, how. Every time you deliver these questions, pause. Let the deeper meaning and the underlying possibility of the question really sink into their minds. Here are three examples of compelling general questions. Number one, who has ever said that you cannot live with this level of animosity and upset for even one more day? Number two, anyone decided that dating is daunting and resigned yourself to be single for the rest of your life? Number three, when was the last time you and your almost ex-spouse had a conversation that didn't end in a fight or a problem? Okay, compelling general questions. These are not coaching questions. These are leading questions. We don't ask leading questions in coaching, right? So these are leading questions. They are leading in and out of the main points. The first key point is 10 minutes. So you make your first key point in 10 minutes, and then you have a 2-minute summary, 12 minutes. We're still talking about the 40 minutes in the body of your teleclass. The first key point, 10 minutes plus 2-minute summary. So you deliver your first key point. You talk about the problem that you'll be helping the participant solve. You offer new ways to see the problem, provide concrete, objective information about the problem, quote statistics that offer a different perspective, challenge faulty thinking or old beliefs, tell a relevant anecdotal story that gets people's attention. right? You're trying to be very interesting, very compelling, so you can hold people's attention and energy and deliver value. Then you set up a writing exercise. Writing exercises in teleclasses are terrific. If you talk for 40 minutes, I promise you people are going to do their grocery list for the week, they'll pay their bills, they'll answer their email, they'll do whatever they do. Okay, you want your teleclasses to be so fast-paced, and this is how you do it. You will always be giving people something to do, to engage and to interact with the material and with you. So number three, you set up a writing exercise. You ask participants to take 2 minutes to write down their thoughts or questions or their reactions to your first key point. Or tell them to grab a piece of paper and a pencil because you're going to build a list together. And I'm going to demo that in a minute. Then after 2 minutes, you ask another general question related to your first key point. So you've got first key point, 10 minutes, 2 minute summary. Second key point, 10 minutes, 2 minute summary. Third key point. After the 2 minutes, then you ask another general question related to your first key point. It's going to sound like this. Hat on. If you could decrease the conflict in your life during this time, what would change? How would the quality of your life improve? Hat off. So my first key point has to do with decreasing conflict. And then I ask this general question. Then I invite all the participants to share, and I facilitate a lively discussion. Inviting participants to share sounds like this, hat on. Who has a sense about how decreasing the conflict during this time would positively impact you? Or can anyone see how this could make an immediate impact on your life or on your health, on your ability to focus on other priorities? Or who would like to share first? Or I'd like to hear from 3 or 4 people, please. If it's later in the teleclass, you might want to say, I'd like to hear from 2 or 3 people who haven't spoken yet. I'd like to give a couple of you who haven't spoken yet an opportunity to jump into this discussion. Okay? Then you do your 2-minute summary. You summarize your teaching points, weaving in the rich sharing from all the participants related to the key point. So you're taking lots of notes. Whatever anybody says, you write down and keep track of, because you weave in those sharings into your summaries. Or you may actually use somebody's sharing or a question that they asked and segue into another key point or another sub-point within the key point. It builds rapport, it builds connection, it is a masterful way to deliver teleclasses. Then you deliver your second key point. Second key point is 10 minutes with a 2-minute summary. You ask your general question related to your second key point. And then you deliver your second key point. Remember, you're not repeating the opening questions. You set up your writing exercise, ask participants to take 2 minutes to write down their thoughts, questions, or reactions to your second key point, or you facilitate the list building exercise I talked about a minute ago. You start them off by offering the first example of what will be on the list. You set the tone and you set the pace for this exercise. So let me demo the list building exercise. Hat on. Let's build a list together of every place you've gone or think would be a good place to go to meet your ideal partner. I'm going to start with a dog park. Let's take 2 minutes. I will be watching the clock. And I'll keep time for you. Every 30 seconds or so, I'll say something, or I'll ask another, or I'll make another offering. Okay? Hat off. And then every 30 seconds or so, you say something affirming, or you ask another open-ended question to spark their thinking, or you offer an addition to the list. 2 minutes. Then after 2 minutes, ask a general question related to your second key point, right? That's the coming out of your second key point. And you invite all of the participants to share, and you facilitate a lively discussion. Then you summarize the second key point for 2 minutes. And you summarize your teaching points, again weaving in the rich sharing from all the participants relating to the second key point. And so I just misspoke. Your general question isn't out. Your general question is in. So after the list building, your general question is into the lively discussion. I'm sorry. I lost track of where I was. All right. Summary, 2 minutes, second key point. Then you deliver your third key point. Now this is 10 minutes plus a 6-minute summary. 6-minute summary. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Now, at this point, you can do one of two things. You can do another writing exercise, or you can do, this is so great, you can do what we call hot seat coaching. And you ask for volunteers, and then you'll probably have time to do 3 to 5 hot seat coaching sessions. So you'll have, because you've got 10 minutes. 10 minutes. You could do 3 minutes easily. So you ask for volunteers. We've talked about a lot of things. You've talked about a lot of things. There's been a lot of rich sharing. And I'm wondering if it would be valuable to anybody to get a little bit of coaching right now. Very short, about 3 minutes. Who'd like to volunteer? And then you do your hot seat coaching. People love to be coached. They love to be coached. It's a really good thing, too, because people have an opportunity to, A, engage with you, to listen to how you engage with people. It really, really is powerful for people being coached and for people listening. Then there's no writing exercise. There's no general question. It's all about coaching for the shift. Or you could deliver your third key point if you want. And then you ask your general question related to your third key point to get in. You deliver the third key point. You set up the writing exercise of the list building. You ask another general question. And then you invite participants to share, and you facilitate a lively discussion. Okay, now, why is the summary 6 minutes? The summary is 6 minutes for the third key point because you summarize and contextualize everything that has been said in the body of your teleclass, the last 34 minutes. Remember, 40 minutes for the body of your teleclass? 34 minutes, now you've got a 6-minute summary. So you want to summarize and put into context everything that has been said in the body of your teleclass the last 34 minutes. So let's review. Greet participants as everyone arrives. Welcome, intro, protocol, agenda. 10 minutes elapsed time. Body of the teleclass. 40 minutes of elapsed time. Now we've got 50 minutes of elapsed time. The last 10 minutes is your formal debrief and close. Now it's time for the formal debrief of the 2 or 3 key points. You summarize the 3 key points. You mark out the specific teaching points that you made. You summarize the aha moments and the rich awareness and solutions surfaced in the group sharing. You personalize the learning by asking the personalizing powerful question. This is a personalizing powerful question. Are you ready? How are you going to use this rich information or this new or deepened awareness or this new perspective in your life today? And just pick one. Ask them about the information, the awareness, or their perspective. How are you going to use it? Personalize the learning. Then you give them a minute of silence to write down a response. And then you begin the process of debriefing and everybody shares. I say everybody shares. There's no rule or law, and you can't make everybody share. So you want to hope that you have enough people who are going to want to share that will really enrich the learning. And you want to keep this part moving. Call on people by name. Deepen the learning. You can add another point, or if there was a similar point to be made, you can deepen it by adding another piece. You want to always endorse and affirm your participants, and you always want to thank them and say goodbye. Greeting participants, 10 minutes. Body of the teleclass, 50 minutes. Formal debrief and goodbye, 10 minutes. 60 minutes of elapsed time. 60 minutes. I'm going to take us out of presentation mode and take questions before I go into the next part of the presentation. Okay, so I just said a lot. Who has questions? Who'd like to start? No questions? Questions going once. Questions going twice.
Jackie, this is Libby.
Okay, well, yes, Libby, thank you.
This almost sounds like we could devise a template, almost, kind of, that starts with those questions and goes through the topics and sort of peeling it out that way and adding our content. Is that how you suggest approaching actually writing our workshop and how we develop it?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Great, thanks.
Yep, you're welcome. Yeah, it's a template is a good word. I just watched a video earlier this morning, a very, very short video, great guy. ThriveLeads.com, T-H-R-I-V-E, ThriveLeads. This is a new company, young people, and fabulous. I highly, highly, highly recommend them. And he has a very similar, used to think about this in terms of sort of mathematical equations because I have such a linear, concrete mind. But with the watching the video today, and now, Lupi, with your comment, this really is like a template. And that's what he has for writing opt-in pages and landing pages. He takes two parentheses, which are, you know, facing each other, and he turns them upside down. And then he creates this template or this model. And that's exactly what you can do. It's like take the parentheses, put them upside down, and then the top you've got the beginning, the bottom you've got the formal debrief, and then you fill in the blanks, and you've got what you have in the middle. Conceptually, you also want to do it around the clock. You want to have your clock there, and you want to put little lines at the 6-minute and at the 8-minute and the 15-minute so that you know exactly where you should be. And then when you practice delivering, which you practice, and you record, when you practice delivering and you've got your clock, you really can familiarize yourself with your material so you know where you should be. Okay, good. Thanks, Lupe. Any other thoughts, questions, or feedback? Okay, I'm going to put us back in presentation mode. I want to talk a little bit about what it means to personalize the learning and why you want to do that. You want to make the content of your teleclass personally useful, meaningful, and operational. Personally useful, meaningful, and operational. And this is a piece that most people forget. They forget. They forget for a couple of reasons. One, they don't know. They don't really know. It's actually worse than forgetting. But two, a lot of people that deliver teleclasses, because we want to talk about why you're delivering your teleclass, and a lot of people are delivering their teleclasses to sell something. That's the death knell. It really is the death knell for teleclasses. And you'll only do that to somebody once, and they won't come back. and you want to deliver teleclasses so people come back and back and back, and they bring their friends and they bring their coworkers, and they tell everybody about you and your products and your services and your teleclasses. A teleclass is an opportunity for you to deliver value to your niche, to the larger target market, to your niche, to your clients. It is an opportunity for you to deliver value. If you think about this as an opportunity to make money or an opportunity to sell or upsell, you're most likely not going to be successful. The people that do that, and we have these gurus, they're called guru stars. Beth Grant calls them guru stars. People that have, you know, if you do this, you can make $6 million and, you know, do it this way, and here's the system. Very few people can do that. So if you're going to model yourself after somebody, please don't model yourself after those people. They didn't become those people overnight. You want to be known as somebody in the market, in the marketplace, in your target market, in your niche. You want to be known as somebody who delivers value, who cares about people, who's enthusiastic about the thing that you're talking about, that you have something important that you want to say, that you want to share. That being said, you want people to get it. You want them to be able to use the thing that you're sharing with them. You want them to be able to, again, hang up the phone and use the thing that they have spent 60 minutes listening about. Personally useful. How can this new information serve them in their life today? These three pieces in my mind should be at the top, sitting on the desk, on the top of your desk in big, bold letters so that you are creating, developing, designing your teleclass, anything that you do, with these three key things in mind. Personally useful. How can this new information serve people in their life today? Meaningful. How can your participants, how do they need to tweak the information to fit their own situation? Because you're talking to, on an average teleclass, you'll be talking to 30 or 60 or 70 people. Now, they may not all be on the line at the same time, but you have to remember, and don't get nervous if people aren't there live, right? Don't get nervous. Deliver your teleclass as if there were 200 people there with that same energy and enthusiasm. The 3 or 4 or 5 people that are there are important. They actually showed up. They didn't just pay their money. They're there. They're engaging. They're connecting with you. They matter. You know, forget about everything else that you think you need and want. You are there to serve the people who are there. How do they need to tweak the information to fit their own situations? You want to have that be top of mind. And the third piece is, what actions do they need to take? What attitudes do they need to adjust? What behaviors do they need to stop or implement to make this information ultimately useful in their life today? If you don't ask them specifically how they are going to personally use, make meaningful, and operationalize what they just learned, they won't know how to do it. They won't do it. So that your formal debrief is an important time to help people understand how to do this. Now, you may not use all of these words and theoretical concepts. You might. Depends on who you are. If you're a very touchy-feely person, you probably won't. If you tend to be a more literal, concrete person and you deliver material in that way, you can get away with it. Don't, how do I want to say this? Be aware of the energy. Be aware of the energy, you know, that you created in the room, so to speak. And if people are thoughtful and they're deeply engaged in a thoughtful process, don't pull them up out of that to talk about personally useful, meaningful, and operational in a way that causes them to come up out of that very thoughtful place into their left brain. Right? There are ways to use language to help them stay where they are and get the job done. Personally useful, meaningful, operational. The way that you do that is to pose personalizing, powerful questions throughout the teleclass and in the formal debrief at the end of the teleclass. So here are some examples for personalizing powerful questions. How would you use this new information? Right, fairly straightforward. Is there one word or are there two words to describe what you like so far? How could you use this information and have it be useful for you today? How are you going to customize the information and the key points and apply it to your own situation? Those are words people are really used to hearing. Apply it to your own situation. Sort of friendly words. How are you going to take this information and make it fit for your situation? This is an essential integrative piece in your teleclass. Essential. This gives you a sense of what people are valuing, and it's one of the skills that will double and triple your retention in your teleclasses. People will come and come and come and come. They'll come back, they'll keep coming back, they'll bring people with them. I want to talk about the most asked questions about teleclasses and that kind of stuff, but we have a lot of time left. We're going to be ending very early since we don't have a lot of questions. But I do want to now take a minute, because I alluded to it a moment ago. It's not part of the presentation, but I want to talk about why you want to deliver a teleclass. I think that it would be good information to have. In the old days, we would do teleclasses. There was a model, and it was called free to fee. Free to fee. And it was a legitimate model. And I am talking about 16 years ago, before people really understood what teleclasses were all about, when we were just all trying to figure out how do you hold people's attention for 60 minutes on the phone. Free to fee. And the idea was that the way we initially started to use teleclasses was as a marketing tool. And we would put a bunch of people on the phone and we'd tell them some great information. And then we would always upsell to a fee series or a fee something that we would charge for. Free to fee was the model, and that's how we were using teleclasses. And there was a problem with that. And the problem was, A, that people stopped coming because they knew that every time they got on a teleclass, you were going to sell them something. So that became a problem. And the other thing was that people delivering as well as people receiving started feeling not good about what was going on. And most of the time, subject matter experts, people like us, who work with people, who have something important to say and write books or e-books, deliver teleclasses, workshops, subject matter experts, we really care about people. We care about connecting to people. We care about delivering value, saying something that matters to people. So this model of delivering this free thing so we could upsell this fee thing didn't feel good to anybody. And in a couple of years, we stopped doing that. And teleclasses changed. And the purpose of teleclasses started to be to deliver content. And this was actually before content marketing was born. But we started to deliver content. We started to say to people, you know, in addition to the coaching in which we don't give advice, we don't fix, we don't make suggestions, we don't have any expertise or intellectual property, we actually do have, as coaches, we actually do have some important stuff to say. We do have things that we think would be interesting or helpful or useful or valuable for you to have. And so we're going to develop this way of delivering additional value, additional to the one-to-one. And that was the first sort of morphing of teleclasses, that we were going to deliver value. and started to develop the ways of developing design, the development and design features, in the same way that people had been developing seminars for years, or trainings, the idea of the key points and the subpoints and the summaries, all that stuff. So we borrowed, in terms of design and development, a lot of stuff from other formats, other delivery formats. And then just tried for a couple of years. What worked? How many key points? One wasn't enough, or it's way too much in an hour. How long should it be? How much Q&A should you have? And again, the early years, we had fewer people on teleclasses than later years. From about 2005 to 2011, I would say about 2011, we would have typically on this call, and I've been delivering this a long time for CTA, and easily we'd have 175 or 180 people on our teleclasses. Dr. Dave Kruger is another faculty member and does teleclasses here at CTA. And Dr. Dave and I used to be in competition with each other to see who could get, not that we had any control over it, but who had the most people on the teleclasses. And we used to just, between ourselves, we'd have these contests because I broke the first barrier with 140 and then he had 152 and then I went to 160. And at any rate, we don't get those kinds of numbers live anymore. As I was saying earlier, people will opt to listen to a teleclass in the convenience of their home or on a run or on a walk or later in the evening or early in the morning. That's why replays are so important. And replays are very important. The downside of the replay is that you don't have the kind of participation live that you used to have. But it's not a problem because you're here, we're here, I'm here today, for example, to deliver value, to deliver content. This is a training, not a teleclass. But still, the point is I feel so passionately about teleclasses that I want to teach people how to be successful designing, developing, and delivering teleclasses. I think it's a very important adjunct to your coaching business or to your massage therapy business or your dental practice. I mean, solopreneurs of all kinds, not only coaches, use teleclasses. Delivering value. So that's the mindset that I really hope that you'll have, is that you are designing, developing, delivering teleclasses to deliver value to your niche, to be a subject matter expert. You will develop credibility and visibility in your marketplace. That's good. There can be nothing bad about that. It gives people a real opportunity to connect with you and to get to know you. And it becomes an important piece of our business. Now, if you want to let people, if you want to use teleclasses for marketing purposes, not to deliver value as a subject matter expert. That's one legitimate reason. If you want to deliver teleclasses for marketing, then deliver short teleclasses. And then make sure people know that your teleclass is to get to know them and to give them a sense of what they can do if they work with you. It's legitimate. Just tell the truth. And so you can have free teleclasses as a part of moving people through your marketing funnel. Just be true. Just be honest about it. Or you can develop teleclasses and use the audio as audio presentation in your sales sequence in your marketing. Again, just tell the truth about it. And then those would be more like 3 to 6 minutes, 7 minutes, not any longer than 7 minutes. So you can use teleclasses and you can use the recordings from teleclasses in a lot of different ways. Just be clear about what it is that you're doing and tell the truth to the people that are showing up so that they know. If you have a product or a service that you're rolling out and you want to deliver a teleclass or a webinar so that you can get a lot of people to hear about it and consider it and then enroll in it, that's called a preview call, right? Just so you know, that's a teleclass or a webinar that's called a preview call, and it's publicized as a preview call so that people see that it's a preview call and they say, oh, That means that he or she is going to want to sell me something at the end. But am I interested in the thing that I'm going to be sold? You will be amazed if people know that A, you're going to sell them at the end of the call, and B, what it is you're going to try to sell them. If they're interested, they'll show up. Right? They will. It's all a matter of integrity and doing what you say and saying what you do. Have a teleclass, have a webinar, preview call. Look, I've got this really great offering, this series. Suppose you're going to be doing a live series, an 8-session series of how to do this or that. You do want to publicize it. And you don't just want to do Facebook ads. You want to really, like, talk to real people. You've got LinkedIn first degree, second degree, third degree contacts. You've got Facebook followers. You've got Twitter followers. So you want to say to all these people and to brand new people, hey, I'm doing this really cool thing I want to let you know about. Now, in a preview call, teleclass or webinar, in a preview call, please, 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 please deliver massive value. Don't give away the store. Don't tell them everything you're going to tell them in the 8-series program. But deliver value. Let me hang up the phone with something that's valuable to me about the problem that you've identified that I have. And if I want to buy the thing, I'll buy it. If I don't want to buy the thing, at least I have been with you, I've gotten to know you, and you have given me something that will help me solve my problem. Is it the whole thing? No. But it's a very valuable piece. If you do that, people will come to your preview calls no matter what you're previewing, and they'll bring people or send people. I have people that take my emails for preview calls and they mail them to everybody they know because they're going to get something that they didn't have, and they might even want to enroll in or buy the thing that I'm previewing. So that's the kind of loyalty. Those are the kinds of relationships, right? Because we moved from content marketing into relationship marketing in probably 2012-2013, relationship marketing, where we really are building relationships for the long term. We're building relationships with content marketing. But it's no longer we're marketing content. We're building relationships, and content marketing is a part of it, delivering valuable content. Okay, that's my little rant. My private rant about teleclasses. And then I have just one statistic for you to think about. There is a statistic, and it is from, it's consistent, and it's from a couple of webinar companies. And the statistic is that you get a 67% increase in participation on a webinar. Increase on a webinar than you do on a teleclass. And that's because it's got pictures. People like, it's like a PowerPoint, the webinars, if you haven't been on a webinar. And they like the PowerPoint, for lack of another way to say it. So they don't ever see you, hardly ever. The person that does webinars where you see her, the person that does this the very best, I think, in the world, and I know that's a very broad brush thing to say, and now I'm not going to remember her name. Oh, my goodness. I'll think of it. I'll think of it. Yep, it's gone. I felt it leave. I sort of saw it move from one side of my brain to the other as I was doing the sort of setup for it. It'll come back to me. At any rate, most of the time people don't do that. There's a lot of technology behind that, being able to be seen by the people that also are on the webinar, seeing the webinar. So most people do not do that. So they hear your voice, and then they see the webinar, the PowerPoint. 67% increase over teleclasses. I suggest you start with teleclasses. A, the setup is much less expensive. You can do Instant Teleseminar, which is a wonderful company, Instant Teleseminar. Fabulous, fabulous company. And then the webinar thing gets to be actually much more expensive. So if you've not done teleclasses, I'm glad that you're here. Do 10 or 20, 25 teleclasses and get very comfortable with the design and the development and the delivery, and then think about who you want to use as a provider. You have GoTo Meetings. You have Ruzuku, R-U-Z-U-K-U. You have Webinar Jam. Webinar Jam is my webinar support provider, or not support, my provider. Webinar Jam, great people. Webinar Jam, these are really interesting guys, young. Webinar Jam is built on a Google platform. Why do you care? You care because it's built on a Google platform, the Google algorithms, all the Google spiders are called, in the back of all of the Google platforms are related to each other. And so Google, you get a lot of play on Google that you might not get on a different platform, just because it's a Google platform. So there's GoToMeetings, and there's Webinar Jam, and there's probably a couple of there's a couple of others. Infusionsoft. Infusionsoft is amazing, super expensive, super complicated, not very user-friendly until you're trained on it. Once you're trained on it, it's incredible. But it's pretty pricey. But it does a lot of things. All right. Let me now talk about the most asked questions. Well, actually, let me come out of here and see if you have any questions about any of that. Hang on. Okay. So was that interesting to anybody?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Great. You're very welcome. Anybody have any thoughts or questions about anything that I've talked about so far? Okay. All right, then let me go back. Oh, was that somebody?
Jack, sorry, this is Lupe.
Sure.
I have a question about confidentiality. So how does that work, especially if you have recordings that people can listen to after the fact? I understand in our format today, we're not talking about a lot of confidential things, especially with some of the topics of the teleclasses that it sounded like you gave on divorce and so forth. How do you handle that? How does that work?
There is no confidentiality. You can't commit to confidentiality. And that's why all of the bridges say out loud that this conference is being recorded. It's why you are alerted. I know that there are some subject matter experts who send out, or at the bottom of the registration, there is a long disclaimer that says, I understand that this is being recorded and that I can't promise where the recording will always be, and all of that. There are disclaimers that many people will have people sign off on, or by registering you are agreeing to, or or you are so signifying that. That's one way. And the other way is that you're silent as to confidentiality. You're not saying that it's confidential. So if you're not representing that as confidential, it isn't a problem that it isn't confidential. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay,
good.
Okay. Yeah, good question. Really, really good question. Any other thoughts or questions? So let me ask a personalizing question. So what's been the most interesting thing that I've said so far that you think you'll use? Just let me hear from a couple of people. What's the most interesting thing that you didn't know
that you think that it's valuable to know?
Nobody?
Dr. Black, I think this is Nikita in Central Florida. I just
thanks, Nikita.
Like the way that you put it into kind of like a roadmap to help us fill in the blanks. So that, I mean, I'm taking notes as you're talking, but providing notes I think would be great as well because I'm sure I'm missing so much content. I'm sure I missed a lot.
Good. Thank you so much. I really appreciate knowing that that the way that it's organized is helpful to you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thoughts, questions, feedback? Or no, I asked my personalizing question. Sorry.
Well, this is Lupe again. And for me, it's similar to what Nikita said. I feel like I have a template now that can help me really design the course and how I want it to flow, and that's huge because it was one thing of never knowing, ooh, I have a lot of content I want to share. How do I put that together and what makes the most sense? So this template, I think, is really going to help help me hone in on those key points, those questions, all of those things that I need to do. I also appreciate understanding the free-to-fee model. Because I've been involved in a lot of those free-to-fee kinds of things, which are so disappointing at times. But it's good to know that there is a distinction of different types of calls in terms of what I'm looking to do with my business. So that was very helpful as well.
Oh, good. I'm very glad. Good, good. Because in the middle of that, I thought, oh, is this a good idea to sort of set aside the material for the moment? But I'm very glad that's helpful. Yeah, you know, people who want something for free are not the same people who are willing to pay for it. And as you're moving people through your marketing funnel, you're moving them through the funnel to what? To pay you a lot of money for your services. So we really don't want to be pandering, air quotes, to people who want stuff for free. So great. So glad that was helpful. Thanks, Lupe. Okay, I'm going to put us back in question and put us back in presentation mode, and then talk about some of the most asked questions about teleclasses. Here's the most asked question about teleclasses: how do you get participants to engage with you to participate? Right? And the answer to that is that you ask open-ended questions. And sometimes when you have a few people on the phone, as we've experienced today, sometimes people are reticent to ask questions. And the more people you have on a call, the more questions you have. It just is that mathematical equation. But ask open-ended questions. What seems to be keeping you stuck in this relationship? Now that you have a better sense of conscious divorce, where do you want to go from here? If there was one aspect of the dating process you felt comfortable with, how do you suppose dating would feel different? These are all powerful questions. These are, which we didn't even understand that much about powerful questions in 2002 and 2003. I mean, the development and the of how we ask questions and the kinds of questions that we ask, these are processing coaching questions. And we didn't even think about processing coaching it hadn't been mainstreamed, if you will, until 2012 at the ICF convention. So it's just so interesting that we take a look at how we engage with people across platforms. And it's always the same way, to ask open-ended questions and engage, that connect to their experience. When you have solid information and clear choices, are you less afraid, less concerned about being reactive rather than being proactive with your spouse? Open-ended questions. So the other thing is that if people don't have questions, they don't have questions. Don't stress about it. The fact that you're not talking for an hour and ignoring your audience is really the point of asking if there's questions, thoughts, questions, or feedback is right. Now, again, you would ask a more engaging question about your key points as you open up for questions and answers, and you're not coming in and out of presentation mode and all of that. But
if people are taking in the material, they're taking in the material. Sometimes what you're saying is so important, or it has so many component parts, that people are processing, they're thinking, it's going in, they're organizing it, they're digesting it in a sense. And it's sometimes it's hard for people to listen, be in a listen mode, and to take in a lot of great information and then process it and ask you a question or come back out and into a different part of self to engage and ask questions. So the whole thing about asking questions or inviting people to ask questions is to answer the questions for people who do and to let people know you're available to connect with them. You know they're there. You care about them. Okay? But don't stress on what's going on. Let me do some demo about this. It might help as well. It's because it's helpful to participants to be given a heads up when you're asking questions or when you're going to want them to answer in a teleclass, or in a workshop. You can use a lot of this for workshops, which we'll talk about next week. All right, you say, hat on. I'm going to ask a question. And then you ask your question. Now, I know that sounds like duh, but it really does help when you say to people, I'm going to ask a question. And then you pause for a minute, and they sort of get themselves reorganized. Okay, she's going to ask a question. And then ask your question. Or you can say, well, here's a question for you. And then you pause, and then you ask the question. Or you say at the end of talking, I'd like three people to respond. Who'd like to go first? Who'd like to begin? I love who'd like to begin. That's generally how I start classes, if we're doing some discussion in classes. Well, who'd like to begin? It presupposes that somebody wants to go first and that a lot of people want to engage. Those embedded presuppositions in questions can be very powerful. Who'd like to begin? I'd like to hear from three or four people who are having this challenge right now. Who'd like to start? Or I'd like to hear from three or four people who've had some personal experience with this issue, or who had some success doing it this way. Who'd like to go first? Then Marcia says, Dr. Jackie, this is Marcia. You say, thank you, Marcia. And then Marcia makes her comment and question. Then you say, thanks, Marcia. That's a very rich piece to add to the point I made about X and so. Don't just let Marcia's comment hang in the air. I hate being on calls where there's somebody's asked a question, they're sharing, and at the end of the sharing, there's nothing. There's dead air. It doesn't matter how important the thing is that somebody said or how comfortable they are or how much they appreciated the opportunity to share. It feels awful. It feels awful. It's like, well, did I say the wrong thing? Do they not like what I said? Is anybody still there? It's terrible. It really is an awful experience. So whenever anybody speaks to you, always, in a complete sentence, engage, affirm, endorse back. Often you can deepen your teaching point from this jumping off place that Marcia provided. Or you can say, thanks, Marcia, that's a great question or a great point, and it segues very nicely to my second key point. May I answer your question in a moment? Okay. Or, thanks for giving us that piece, Marcia. This is one of those things that I wanted to be sure to loop back to and tie into our discussion today, and I'll do that in a moment, if you don't mind. And then when you do, you can say, oh, Marcia, okay, Marcia, here's that piece. Now, everybody knows you're talking to everybody, but you're also building rapport with Marcia. You're remembering. And it's nice of you to remember. It's part of mastery as a facilitator. Or who's next? This encourages someone else to speak up and move the class along. Who's next? Who's next? Who'd like to go next? You might say, I'd like to hear from each of you. It depends on how many people are on the call. I'd like to hear from everybody. Again, depends on how many people are on the call. You might say, you know, I'd like to hear from people who haven't shared yet, and I'm seeing that Jim and John and Susan, I haven't heard from you yet.
I often do that in class. Again, class is not a training. But if some people haven't, I'll say, you know, name three or four or five people who haven't heard from yet. And that's their cue. Step in. It's an invitation. Depending on what people are saying, you might say, tell me more, or is there more, if you want to help people deepen their response. Can you say more about that? Not coaching questions, not coaching questions, and very facilitative in workshops and in teleclasses. It invites people to tell you more, because a lot of times you can tell that there's more, or people short-circuit themselves because they don't want to be taking up too much time, or they're worried about their self-editing for a lot of reasons. Okay? Tell me more. Is there more? The second most asked question about teleclasses. What do I do with the person who's talking a lot, who thinks that she or he knows everything and is taking over my call? It's an important question because you are the person who's in charge of the call. You are in charge. People, speakers and facilitators frequently refer to these people as the experts in the group. The experts in the group. These people can be your biggest fans or your biggest detractors. You need and want to identify who they are very early in your teleclass. They're either disruptive or they're supportive. They can either add to the course content and reinforce what you're saying, or they can rattle you to the point of distraction. And even if they're adding to the course content, they are tedious. Other people start to go, oh, that person again? So in either case, you need to embrace them and welcome them, and you need to deal with them. Often, they will become willing to calm down, to be more receptive to what you're saying directly and inferentially, and they will allow your influence. Generally, it's a great person to have on a teleclass as long as you can control them, engage them, try to get them to stop talking. I mean, engage them versus try to get them to stop talking, that you're not put off by them, and that you can celebrate them and learn how to manage them. If someone is butting in a lot or jumping in a lot to answer questions, or they answer every question first, as a skilled facilitator, you have several options. Hat on. So I'd like to make a request. I'd like to hear from someone who hasn't spoken yet. That will often work. Or, what I'd like to do now is listen to someone we haven't heard from. This is a little more forward. You know, some people think on their feet faster than others. I want to be sure to provide the space for everyone to contribute and join this terrific dialogue. So I'd like to invite everyone to count to 6 or 8. Before you make your next comment or you ask your next question. And let's create the space for some others to jump in here with us. Very inferential. Very inferential. Often works. You might have to say to the person interrupting, Harriet, thank you so much for all your rich sharing. I wonder if I could ask you to do something for me. Oh, Harriet's going to be so excited to do anything for you. Will you join me in providing the space for some others who might be shy or less assertive to contribute to our dialogue? This is a clear message that's received well by that person. Almost in all situations, I don't know if I've ever had a person say no. You're inviting them to co-lead with you, to be your co-facilitator. I wonder if I could ask you to do something for me. It paves the way for everyone to receive the invitation to contribute, and the person who is interrupting is happy because she or he has been elevated to join you in facilitating the teleclass. If you take the line of resistance, or you don't handle and manage the expert or the person who's disruptive or dominating the call, if you don't restore an appropriate learning environment for everyone, people on the line will lose respect for you. They may get angry and leave the call.
they may stay and never enroll in another teleclass. But those people will be lost forever as a warm prospect or a referring resource. It's your call. You have an obligation to make sure that everybody on the call is comfortable and has opportunities for rich learning and sharing. This takes practice. This takes practice. And hopefully you won't have a lot of these people. But you can learn to graciously and respectfully handle a dominant or disruptive participant. The third most asked question is about teleclasses. If there's too much silence, if participants aren't engaged, if there's poor or no response to questions. Again, you don't want to focus on that. Your job is to keep a very conversational tone. Deliver your content with high energy, good humor, and goodwill. Every once in a while, ask a powerful question, tell an anecdotal story, share some statistics, quote a famous person. Keep going. Keep going. You've got a lot of information people want to hear. Remember why they're there. You said in all your ad, in all your advertising, in all your publications, I have something really important to tell you. Come and listen. Okay? So if they're coming to listen and they're not sharing and participating, take a breath and just keep going. It's okay. Now, if sharing is part of it, I do a teleclass for CTA, and the second in 2 hours, like this one, 2 hours and 2 hours, the second 2 hours, the first 2 hours I talk, and I stop every once in a while for questions and answers, but it's a lot of didactic. The next 2 hours, I do no talking. I do only coaching, hot seat coaching. It is 2 hours of hot seat coaching only. If we don't have enough people who we give people the opportunity when they enroll to sign up for hot seat coaching. Sometimes we have so many people sign up, I can't take them all. Sometimes nobody signs up, but we have a lot of people who show up. Sometimes they do a little bit of both. But when the time comes, they couldn't be here or they've changed their mind and there's nobody that does hot seat coaching. In everything we publish, it says, session number two is all hot seat coaching. There is no lecture. So if we all get on the call and there are no questions and there's no hot seat coaching, we all hang up. It's published that way. It's designed that way. It's delivered that way. So that is all to say, you can design and deliver these puppies any way you want. But if you are saying to people, come over here, listen to all this cool stuff I have to say, don't get so stressed out if people don't have anything that they really want to contribute. Okay? And let me say another thing about, and this used to happen to me all the time. I think maybe for years is not an exaggeration. In the early years of developing and delivering teleclasses, nobody would show up. That was before we had autoresponders and before we had automatic registrations and stuff. We would do our publicity and then people would show up. But you'd never know how many people would show up. And there were times that nobody would show up. And I would stay on the call for 15 minutes. And at the end of 15 minutes, I would decide nobody was coming and I would hang up. When Bridges started having the recording capability, I would start the recording at the top of the hour. I might wait 5 minutes. Literally, if nobody showed up, I'd wait 5 minutes. I'd start the recording and I would deliver the entire teleclass. I wouldn't stop and ask questions. I would deliver the entire teleclass, top to bottom. And then they were available to sell as MP3s. Well, they weren't on the MP3s yet. They would be available to sell as recordings, or I could give them as gifts, or I could put them on the website. That actually came later as well. For a long time, there was no way to put audio on websites. But I delivered them, and I had them. I had the material. They were valuable. I delivered them, and I held on to the recordings. Now, you should always, always, always deliver your teleclass, no matter who shows up. Because you can create MP3s, you can pull segments from them and create different things. You can give them as gifts, you can give them as
If people do a certain thing, you can offer them as opt-ins. You can do tons of things with recorded teleclasses. So if you're all set up to do it and you're ready to go, do it. Do it and record it. And then have somebody either learn how to pull your recording off and create an MP3 that you have, or ask somebody else to, or put it in a package. You can package them and have a lot of digital products on your website all of a sudden. Very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. Okay. Just to remind you, when you're developing or designing the teleclass, ask yourself a couple of key questions. Why are you hosting the teleclass? What are three things you want your participants to know about you, your experience, your credentials? What are the five most common problems or challenges your participants have around this topic? Why will they enroll? What do you feel or think or believe people should do or do differently or not do in this area? Okay, so people who are getting divorced, I don't think people should yell and scream and fight. I don't think people should put their children in the middle. So when you ask this question, what specifically do you believe people should do or do differently or not do in this area? Those things that you believe are rich sources of content for you to deliver to people. What tips can you offer? How can people change their thinking, their attitudes, their feelings, their actions? What changes can you help people make? What steps and strategies have you seen work to help people make these? Right? Because those are going to be things that you're going to teach in your teleclasses, in your workshops, in your courses. What are the benefits if they enroll? You need all the benefits for your marketing, benefit statements, benefits, benefits, benefits. Okay, not features. People don't buy features. People buy benefits. What are the five things you want your participants to take away from this teleclass? It's very important to understand where you want people to be at the end so that you can be sure to deliver that in the middle. And then, of course, your opening questions and your powerful opening questions and your questions in the middle. You want to get all your statistics together, the quotes, your facts, the trends, resources that you may give, stories. So I have a PowerPoint presentation. It's called Turn Your Thoughts into Action. And I tell, I think, five or six, it's an hour presentation, I think I tell five or six anecdotal stories. And in my notes for the presentation, it's a PowerPoint, did I say that? It's a live PowerPoint presentation. And in my notes, I will say, tell the story about, and then I make a few notes about what the story is. I don't just say story and leave it to my imagination or my memory what story I'm going to be telling at this point in the presentation. No. I actually remind myself what the story is, and I give myself a couple of keywords. It's very important that you are prepared, that you are prepared, even though you wrote it. Lots of things happen when you are confronted with people and you want to deliver a lot of value, and you've got a lot of things going on at the same time. You're holding the phone, you're in the back end of the dashboard on your computer. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on. Okay, that's all I've got. So I will take us out of presentation mode one more time, ask for any last questions, and then we will hang up for today and be back here next week. So hang on 1 minute. Sorry, I hit the wrong button. Okay, so thoughts, questions, feedback, anybody? Okay,
hey,
well, thank you all. Yes.
Yeah, sorry. This is Maggie.
No, no problem.
So one of my main questions is, you know, I have just started, you know, my coaching education with CPA, and my question is, I am not yet, you know, an expert in my niche that I'm choosing. Well, I'm choosing two niches, but I'm not an expert. Of course, I have a lot of personal experience. Can you give me some advice or just some ideas about how to make myself more credible in the eyes of possible participants?
Yes, and I don't know you, and I'm being very sincere when I say this. So let's talk about this for a minute, but I don't want you to be instantly offended. I just want to preface my okay, are you ready?
Yes.
You need to shift your mindset.
Okay.
You're the only one that doesn't think you have enough credentials.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Because nobody else.
Of course. Well, and nobody knows the thing that you are going to bring to your topic. See, you're going to bring what you bring, your perspective, your experience, your vision, the skills, tools, strategies, the questions to pose to help others to dig down into who they are. It's not like you're teaching a hard science. You're not teaching calculus where there's really something that you need to know to teach.
Okay.
So the fact that you are present and you want to be present with people in their pain, that makes you an expert. There are so few people in the world who really want, who choose, who will look for people to be present with them in the struggles that they're having.
That makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's a teleclass. You have three key points to make. And you only have 10 minutes to make your point. And if you decide, because you don't have to follow this, you can decide that you're going to offer three key points, and you're going to deliver your three key points in 5 minutes and give people more time to share. That's the nice thing about having this as a template. Mm-hmm. Gave us that wonderful word, right? Is that you can massage it. Oh, I don't think I want to talk for 10 minutes on this thing. So I'm going to talk for 4 or 5 minutes and have more time for conversation. Or, you know, I have this exercise I think would be really helpful, so I'm going to add another exercise. As long as you've got this, the format, the development piece, you can work that any way you want to that will work for you.
Thank you. Does that help? Yes, it does a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yep. Good. You're very welcome. Any other thoughts, questions, or feedback?
That was very helpful, Dr. Black. Thank you. That leads me to the question, are there any exercises or anything you would like us to do over the next week before the next session?
If it's helpful to you to really think about a topic that you want to talk about, because I'm going to talk about workshops and short presentations. So it would make it more, I think, more personally useful to everyone if you think about a topic that you want to talk about or content that you might want to share in a workshop. And then some of this will be less theoretical, and you'll be able to make it more useful faster. But otherwise, I can't think of any homework I would want you to do.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. And my second question your request
mm-hmm.
would be, if you remember the person who does the great webinars, will you share that with us next week?
Yes. Oh, it just came into my mind. It flew back in. Isn't that funny? It's Fabienne Fredrickson.
Client Attraction School, Client Attraction Academy, Fabian Fredrickson. And
okay,
Fabian, yeah, she can actually be in a webinar with hundreds and hundreds of people. And she sits at a table and she has flowers and a crystal goblet and she has her glass and she looks in the camera and like she's looking at you and then has the webinar too. She does a really wonderful, she's a wonderful person to, well, not only is she smart and she gives tons and tons of really valuable, credible information about attracting clients. She also is an amazing study in video, in how she writes newsletters, and everything that she does. And Fabienne is a CTA grad. She's an alum. So she was one of the people who graduated who had more coaching clients than almost anybody we've ever had graduate. Usually, you have to have two coaching clients to get your certification. Most of my students have five to six. By the end of training. And so the more sample sessions you do, the more clients you'll get and clients that you'll enroll. But, yeah, she really helps a lot of people in the marketing of your business. So somebody to follow.
Excellent.
Okay. You are so welcome. All right. So thank you very much for being here today, and I look forward to next week at the same time, same telephone number, and we're going to talk about workshops and short presentations. So take good care, everybody, and bye for now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye-bye.